Welcome to this podcast from Off the Shelf and the University of Sheffield, in which Dr. Nicola Nadow and PhD student Halvina Saya from the School of Biosciences talk to local artist Paul Evans about their collaboration for BioFest. BioFest is a unique festival taking place in Sheffield throughout November, showcasing cutting-edge bioscience research from the University of Sheffield through a programme of free events, films, talks, art and exhibitions.
Hello, I'm Nicola Nadow. I lead the Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Research Cluster in the School of Biosciences. Our research investigates biodiversity at multiple levels, from things like understanding fundamental evolutionary processes that drive the origin of biodiversity. This includes things like speciation, so that's the process by which populations diverge to become distinct species, to things like adaptation, so the process by which organisms adapt to fit their environment. We go right the way through to understanding global patterns of biodiversity and how current human activities are impacting this, and also what we can do to reduce and reverse current biodiversity declines. These things might sound quite distinct, but they're linked because we need to understand where biodiversity comes from and how species respond to changes in the environment if we want to understand how they're responding to current and future threats and what we can do to help mitigate these. My own research investigates processes like speciation and adaptation, in particular, what happens at the level of genes to make these happen. I work on tropical butterflies, which are extremely diverse, but also face challenges from loss of habitat and climate change. I'm interested in biodiversity at the lowest level of biological organisation. So this is variation between individuals and their DNA sequences and their genes. And I'm interested in how this allows populations to respond and adapt to changing environments.
Hi, I'm Halvina Saya, and I'm just started my second year as PhD student in School of Bioscience, University of Sheffield. Professor Rob Freckleton and Professor David Edwards are my supervisor. Our research focuses on modeling the risks of bird extinction in tropical archipelago. So we use some indicators to make those models related to morphological, ecological, and biogeographic characteristics of birds. And some examples related with wing length, body size, body mass, and diet, and also altitude range. The next indicator concerns forest habitat conversion. It's specifically related with deforestation and fragmentation. The last indicator related to bird trading activities around the world, especially for archipelago area. So in terms of this, we categorize bird species into mainland, single island, and archipelago species, and we link them to some trade. Regarding for bird trading activities, we will link them with species were frequently traded.
As part of BioFest, our research cluster has been working with local artist Paul Evans. He's had conversations with Halvina and I, as well as Emma Hughes, Deborah Dawson and the Genomics Lab Group, Sophie Scott and Penny Watt. Paul's here with us now. Paul, do you want to tell us a bit about how the collaboration came about?
So I applied for a commission for BioFest, and I was absolutely delighted to receive this commission. It's a real dream for me to work with biologists of this calibre. And then I was assigned, essentially, Nicola, Halvina and Emma Hughes. And since then, we've had lots of amazing conversations and discussions. I've learnt so much.
So, Paul, could you tell us a bit about what you've been working on?
Yeah, I've got something to show you. So this is the kind of, it's the game that we've been working on. So there's two elements to this. One is a game where it's going to be a little bit like human chess, large scale thing, 3.5 meters by 3.5 meters. And it represents a biome or an environment. And what's going to happen is that people will come in and they'll collect species from this environment, and it will kind of have a bit of a snakes and ladders element in that some of the species will enable people to move forwards, some of the species will send people backwards kind of thing. So maybe we'll have some invasive species that, in a way, send people backwards.
So we are looking right now at some tree pictures here with a lot of grass. It's like rainforest habitat. Are you intend to put that habitat on this?
Well, we went for broadleaf forest in the end.
Oh, okay.
I think because it's probably a little bit more kind of relatable to the audience that we've got at BioFest.
What kind of species do you want to put in this chess board?
Okay, I can show you. So what we have is we have an earthworm there for the soil layer. We've got an oak tree here. In the oak tree we have a red squirrel.
Oh, nice squirrel.
And a tawny owl. Back down on the ground level we have a fallow deer. There's a little stream here and we've put a pike in there.
Sure, we need to have a pike. Then?
And then we've got a goshawk here in the sky.
How we play this?
Okay, so we'll play it using a dice roll. Very simple thing, really. And people will basically collect these species, and the person who collects the most species wins the game.
Is there going to be information related to the species that they go around and collect?
Yes, there will be information relating to the species, and also the species will basically have instructions on them that will dictate how people move. So they'll either go forwards or backwards, depending on what they read.
Great. Yeah, it looks amazing.
What we have here actually is in two parts. So the first part is this game, which will hopefully be a super engaging element for families to play. And I'm hoping that will kind of capture that family audience. In addition to that, there'll be a film which consists of really things that have been extracted from the conversations that I've had with Alvina and Nicola and a broader team. We've had lots and lots of conversations about what biodiversity means, both personally and also academically, if you like. So what it means, yeah, on a personal lived level, and also what it means as a scientific concept. And bringing out those two aspects has been really, really interesting and very absorbing process. The challenge is that we've probably only got 4 minutes in which to condense all of this information, all of these thoughts. So what we've got is a kind of really condensed version of all these conversations. And what I'm hoping is that the simplification of it alongside the graphics, there's a strong graphic element to this. There's moving graphics in it. There's stills. And they work alongside the words in a kind of poetry, I think, that relate one to the other. What I'm hoping is that this creates a sense of connectedness with this concept of biodiversity, and beyond the concept, with what biodiversity actually is in the outside world.
So biodiversity for me as a scientist is start from gene and population and to ecosystem, like from the simple one to the more complicated one. But as a person, I would say that biodiversity is related with everything that surrounded me. For example, the clean water that I drink, I got from biodiversity. The fresh air and my clothes, I got that from biodiversity too.
So personally and scientifically, I think biodiversity is about the diversity that we see in nature. So that spans everything from genetic diversity, and a lot of that's diversity we can't see, but also that gives us the diversity that we have within species. That kind of also gives us an appreciation of diversity within human populations, and the diversity we have in our communities and in our work environments. It also of course, spans the natural world and the diversity that we have in species. But again, the diversity within those species, I think, is something that is underappreciated. So biodiversity for me is, I guess, a very broad concept, but it is really fundamental for our survival and the survival of our whole planet.
For me, kind of go back to what Halvina said, it's everything. But for me, when I think about it, there's an image in my mind that comes, which is of a vast scheme of interconnection, which starts inside the body in terms of the genetic information that's in our DNA, and in a way that leads back to our heritage as organisms, evolved organisms, alongside all the other evolved organisms that we share the planet with in this close cohabitation and interconnected web. There's that, and then in addition to that, we go out of ourselves and we're still part of this network. We're networked with all the other organisms that, like Alvina says, kind of provides us with food, clean water, oxygen, and that again becomes a huge ramified network. And it's the complexity, really, and in a way that huge picture that's actually really hard to kind of conjure up in your mind. That's what it means to me.
So I agree with Paul that we get many things from nature, but it's not about something that we get from nature only, but we also the part of nature. We always think that nature provide something. Yeah, maybe we should make it clear here that it's not about getting a lot of things from nature. We are the part of nature, so we need to protect them also.
So Paul, I know you sort of came into the project with the background of having worked in these areas before, but I was wondering if sort of during the process of collaborating with us, if you found out anything sort of new or anything that particularly interested you.
Well, yeah, I've got a kind of like a big thing and then I've got a kind of little thing. Yeah. I think the big thing I got from you, Nicola, and our conversations about the kind of various scales at which biodiversity can be viewed at. So we've got biodiversity within the species. I mean, you know, we've referred to genetics, that extraordinary kind of information that defines us and at the same time connects us to other species. So there's biodiversity at that kind of biochemical scale, if you like. And then we move up to the next scale, which is kind of biodiversity within populations, and also the way those populations of different species connect through food webs and things like that. And then in a way you can scale up again, you know, to the global scale, which is rather mind-blowing, you know, where we've got biodiversity operating on a global scale. And also Halvina's refers to this in her research on archipelago populations of birds. I think seeing things in that way, going from the micro, well, you know, in a way the very micro, you know, the chemical level all the way up to the kind of physical level, and then massive populations across the earth all interconnecting. I think that was extraordinary. There's also a couple of things about a couple of terms that I came across which I'd not come across before. The idea of museums and cradles, where biodiversity hotspots basically act as repositories for some of the most ancient species that exist on the earth, as well as being the places where new species are coming into being. And then finally, kind of a bit of a daft thing really, but I got really interested during my conversation with Penny about earthworms and the fact that earthworms operate as ecosystem engineers, and they're actually kind of used as livestock in some countries to kind of aerate the soil. So we've had lots of conversations and I've enjoyed those conversations immensely. I was wondering if any of the conversations we've had or any of the kind of, if you like, creative processes that we've been through might feed into your scientific practice or into the way that you think about the topics we've discussed.
In general, it's always great to spend time talking to non-scientists, because I think as scientists we get very sort of bogged down in the nitty-gritty sometimes, and we think that what we're doing is clearly the most important thing. So it's good to talk to people and get a broader picture, and also to be forced to explain our research in a broader context. So I think that was great. I think also your passion for biodiversity, and you clearly feel really strongly about protecting biodiversity and about protecting the natural world. Talking to someone with that kind of passion is great, and has also kind of pushed me to think more about how I can make sure what I'm doing is impacting the bigger picture.
So I guess the real take home that I'd like the audience or people that encounter this work to have would be this sense of interconnectedness, something of the sense of the absolutely enormous beauty of it all. What we've tried to do is to avoid a sense of overwhelm and powerlessness, which I think currently is surrounding this narrative. My understanding is that people are actually turning off the trailer for Life on Earth 3 because they're finding it too depressing. So I think the aim with this was to really emphasize the positives and steer clear of anything that might be kind of too much of a downer. In the previous project, Life Game, which is also on the player, we talked about grief as being a kind of powerful source for action. I think that that's right, but I think probably what we need a number of strategies. And what the aim of this really is to employ more fun strategies, more positive strategies to try and, if you like, galvanize some sense, well, it's a deep sense of connection and potentially action. Going forwards, what I think has come out for me is that, first of all, 4 minutes for the film is an extraordinarily short period of time to condense so much information. And I think what would have been nice to would have been maybe something more episodic. So we'd have three chapters. One would maybe deal with the very, very small. One would deal with local connections. And then one would deal with the really big picture. That'd be a really nice way forwards. The game, I think, has got potential for development into other biomes. And yeah, I want to keep this conversation going. It's been extraordinary to learn so much. And I hope that it's been a beneficial and interesting experience for Halvina and Nicola as well. The thing about BioFest is it's such a short period of time. It might be nice to think about how this might be. I mean, it'd be good to take it to schools, you know what I mean? And things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have lots of interactions with local schools. Yeah, we have students that go to schools or researchers. So if we could use the game in that context, or if Paul wanted to come along with us and talk to school kids about biodiversity, that would be a great legacy for it into the future.
Thanks for listening. Find out more about BioFest at www.sheffield.ac.uk/BioFest.